Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our text is 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is also the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word translated advocate, it simply means one called alongside to help. It is used with respect to the Holy Spirit, and when it is so used, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Thayer's Greek-English lexicon defines the term with reference to Christ to convey the concept of one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, a counsel for defense, a legal assistant, if you please. Now, this is the work of a lawyer. Jesus Christ serves as our lawyer, as it were, when we stand before God. And what qualities would one want in a lawyer to make his defense? You know, some disdain all law, but that's probably because they prefer to do whatever they want to do without restriction. Jesus, from his earliest years, respected the law of God. In Luke 2 and verse 49, he said, "Even as a youth, when discussing the law in the temple, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" In John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Again in John 6, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And in John 9, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Now the will of God is his law. In choosing a lawyer, we certainly would want one who respects the law, one who knows the law. Jesus always respected and knew God's law. And Jesus also has the unique distinction of having kept God's law perfectly. He was born subject to the law of God as given through Moses, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And when Jesus was on the cross, one thief said, "This man hath done nothing amiss," Luke 23:41. And even when the mob was crying for his death, Pilate said, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him." In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "Though Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, he was yet without sin." In Hebrews 9 tells us, "He offered himself without spot to God." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Peter said he did no sin. So Jesus was perfect under the law of God. Jesus knew the law of God. Jesus was committed to the law of God. And usually the client may choose the lawyer that he wants, unless it is assigned to him by the court. Well, in our case, Jesus can be thought of as having been assigned to us by the court of God, or how he chose us rather than us choosing him. And this is because he does for us what we could never do for ourselves. When he came to the earth, his very mission was to save that which was lost. And he was identified as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus knew how hopeless was our plight, and he voluntarily gave himself for our service. Furthermore, Jesus was willing to serve as our advocate before God in spite of the certainty of our guilt. Now, there never has been any doubt about man's guilt of sin. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5 and verse 12 says, "For that all have sinned." 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, his word is not in us." So there's no question about our guilt. In our judicial system, we have arrangements made for the guilty to still be presented with counsel before the judge and before the court. But the lawyers do not relish the task of having to defend one that they know for certain to be guilty, and one that everyone knows the evidence would condemn. They prefer to take other cases. But Jesus took our case, and he did so knowing that we could never make the plea of innocence. We were guilty. We are, as Isaiah said to the people of Israel, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Now that which has separated us from God, of course, is of our own making. Isaiah 59 says, Behold, the hand of God is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. But Jesus chose to represent us, to plead our case before God in spite of the cost. Now, good lawyers come high, and we're not able to pay Jesus, however, for what he is worth to us. Not only do we not have enough to pay him, we're not even asked to pay him. We could never in a million lifetimes pay him for the service that he renders to us. Furthermore, he has paid the penalty for our condemnation and our guilt. Being convicted and condemned because of our sins, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve his punishment, because God, being a God of justice, he doesn't look upon righteousness and unrighteousness just alike. Righteousness will be rewarded, but unrighteousness deserves retribution. But Jesus pleads our cause and goes further. He pays our penalty in our stead. What lawyer today does such as that? God has determined what will satisfy his justice, and God determined it was the death of his perfect and only begotten Son. In 1 John 3 and verse 15 tells us, He laid down his life for us. Revelation 1 and verse 5, He washed us from our sins in his own blood. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Friend, it was by his own blood that we obtained eternal redemption, Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews 7:27 says, He offered up himself. Now, as far as the cost for our defense, and as far as the penalty for our transgressions, it is, as the song suggests, Jesus paid it all. And having accomplished the work that the Father sent him to do, that is, to make provision for the salvation of man, Jesus ascended back to heaven. He went there to prepare a place for those who belong to him, John 14. But in the meanwhile, Hebrews 7 and verse 25, Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Yes, even now, Jesus is before the throne of God on our behalf. Paul wrote Timothy that we should have a mediator, and that we do have a mediator, but there is only one mediator. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now a mediator is the go-between, the one who makes peace between two parties that are estranged from each other. Man has created the alienation by his sins from God. But Christ is our peace. He reconciles us to God, Ephesians chapter 2, and this he did by his cross. And in addition to being our only mediator, he also serves as an intercessor, one who pleads on the behalf of another. Now we often intercede before God for each other in our prayers. The Holy Spirit is said also to be an intercessor for us when we are unable to pray to God as we ought because of our infirmities, Romans 8:26. But Christ is now an active intercessor for his people before the throne of God. This is why we pray through him. We recognize that we have access to the Father only by the way of Jesus Christ, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Others, even including the Holy Spirit, who makes intercession, still go through the one mediator. It is because Jesus intercedes for us that we can come before the throne of God and offer our petitions to Him. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Now, to come before God boldly means to approach Him with confidence, not that we are deserving of being in His presence, not that we are deserving to solicit His help, but because of His love and His mercy toward us, we can approach the throne of God with confidence. He has provided us this avenue of approach to Him, and we can be confident that He will answer according to what is in our best interest, just as He has promised. You know, this is quite different from our court systems. Our lawyer is also our judge. Now, lawyers and attorneys make their cases before the judge in our system. No prosecuting or defense attorney can serve also as the judge. But in the situation with us and with Jesus, He is not only the one who makes our plea before the court of the Almighty, it is by and through Him that judgment is declared. Certainly this places us in a most advantageous position. How wonderful it is to know that our lawyer is the Son of the judge, and the judge will judge according to the Son. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." Yes, Christ is the standard of the judgment. In Acts chapter 17, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men, even in that He has raised Him from the dead." Yes, it is by the resurrected one that we shall stand and be judged by His standard. Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." It is the will of God, as revealed through the word of Jesus Christ, that is the standard by which judgment will be exacted upon each one of us. So we can conclude that our lawyer, our advocate, Jesus the Christ, has never and will never lose a case for those who have surrendered themselves unto Him. Now, if you choose another attorney than the one God has appointed for sinful man, you cannot expect deliverance. The loss of our case means the loss of our soul into the bowels of a fiery hell for eternity. But when the Lord Jesus is our advocate, we shall be ushered through the portals of glory to live with God and with all the redeemed of every age in a glorious heaven that has no end. Will you come to Christ? Will you accept His offer to save you by rendering obedience to the conditions of salvation that He has specified in the gospel? Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and according to His will, repent of your sins and confess your faith in Him? And then obey Him in baptism, where we reach the blood of Christ and are washed clean of our sins and rise to walk in a newness of life. And He is promised, the very one that shall judge us and pleads on our behalf, has made every provision for our salvation. He has promised that if we will live faithfully in Him and before Him, all will be well with our soul, both now and in eternity. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.